Morning's text is taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. If you wish to follow with me, it would be found in your pew Bible on page 552. Again, it is Proverbs 8, 1 through 4. Listen and hear the word of the Lord for you today. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? In the pass she takes her stand. Besides the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the sons of men. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me again. Gracious God, thank you for your scriptures and how they are lived out in our lives. As we follow wisdom's guidance today in the text, speak to each of us. Speak to us as the church on this most special day in the life of your church. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Unless you were looking at the front of your bulletin, I haven't said yet today that this is Trinity Sunday, the day we celebrate God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit immediately after Pentecost. This is Trinity Sunday. But people who are sick with cancer, who are suffering, I don't know as they care that today is specifically Trinity Sunday. But this is Trinity Sunday, proclaims the church. The planning calendar laying in my office that I use to consult for text for each week has it in all green, Trinity Sunday. But even so, the families dealing with wayward teenagers or the people you know headed for divorce, the person who's lost their job, those we know who suffer internally and never share that suffering out in the rest of the congregation, I'm not sure they care that today is Trinity Sunday. Does it really matter that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we suffer silently, like our neighbors or the people at work or the people in our families? Many of us just want to know that God is God and that God somehow knows where we are, what we're struggling with, what we need, and somehow that God is going to do something to help us out of it. This is Trinity Sunday, the morning when we speak about a doctrine which, in all honesty, has only been spoken about in pieces throughout the rest of the scriptures, never in the same place, never all together in one way, explaining all of who God is. Certainly, the scriptures speak of God in the Gospels as Father, Son, and Spirit. But where in the Bible do you see that it says they are three in one? Where in the Bible is the word Trinity located? Today, we hold up the pieces of who God is. God, the creator of heaven and earth. God, the redeemer of the world. God, the illuminator of the scriptures, or as I spoke with the children, God, the one who helps us pray. As we hold these three persons up, we go on to say that together they make up something that we cannot completely conceive of or understand in our human minds. So even the word Trinity, being absent from the Bible as it is, we know it is real. It reminds me that when I witness something happen on the pages of the scriptures, I am called to mirror what I see, what I read, what I hear, even if I don't completely understand what is taking place in that passage. This is where Proverbs 8 comes into focus for us today. I don't truly understand, I don't know if you do either, truly understand what wisdom is doing, the person of wisdom is doing in this text when it's attributing that wisdom to speaking. But I try to mirror it. And so I try as best I can to speak in the same way. I believe the doctrine of the Trinity is formed in this fashion also, with all the mysteries which surround it, to make us, I suppose, work a bit as we encounter the people of our world and community. Instead of sitting back and letting someone else explain who God is, We are called as the church, even on Trinity Sunday, with a doctrine that isn't completely crystal clear to us at times, to say something, to figure it out. Just sitting in the pew and participating in weekly worship will not lead to a deeper understanding of who God is. We have to enter the mystery of it. The doctrine of God's person is essentially, you see, a relational doctrine, this Trinity stuff. As such, it must be entered into not mentally, but relationally. Using theological language, I can tell you to define the Trinity that the Father begets the Son, and the Son breathes upon us at the ascension. The Father gives us the words to speak his truth on Pentecost, and around this thing goes. This is the traditional language, and we know it well. But does my ability to say, the Father begets the Son who sends us the Spirit, does that deepen my understanding when I'm suffering, or when I hurt, or when someone I know is suffering in a way that I can't completely grasp or work with? But the only way to understand it, this Trinity stuff, the only way to locate ourselves among it, the three persons of God, if it's possible at all to do this, he is God, we are not, is to enter the relationship with the divine, the God who chooses to reveal himself as triune for you. We cannot stand outside of God and use my concepts or our concepts to explain it. We enter into it. We become part of the relationship with God, and God teaches us something there. We do not work to unravel all the mysteries so as to make God our equal or us equal to God. Instead, we work to unravel our place in that mystery. Where is God when I'm confused, when there's this mystery around me? Where is God's will for my life? And like wisdom, where am I called to speak, to raise my voice, to engage those around me on a daily basis? God reveals himself to us because God chooses to do so. God incarnates the Son because God chose to do that. God sends the Spirit on Pentecost again because God chose to pour himself out in a peace for us. I don't completely understand why he does this, and God doesn't ask me to. But I know it happens, and I know it's happened for a reason. And so I enter the relationship. I enter the mystery of it. I'm able to live at peace with my sisters and brothers because I sit with them. And the things they don't understand about God, I don't understand. And we join ourselves together in a new understanding of who God is in our life. We need to trust the power of this doctrine, this relationship, and not run away from it. This week, as I do most mornings to sort of take her from here to here, I was walking the dog around the church. We go several times, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it takes to make her look a little tired and have her tongue hanging out a little bit. As I do most mornings, we were walking and I'm listening to something on my headphones when we come upon a couple of squirrels. Oh boy, right? Puppies and squirrels, right? They heard me coming, I'm sure, and so they stopped whatever they were doing and they began to retreat. Quickly, first to the tall grass, then as Luna got closer, up the tree until I couldn't see them any longer, but she was sure they were still there. And so we stood there for a moment, just listening. I turned off my headphones just to listen and see if I could hear them jump from tree to tree. I could see the branches moving, but I could not see them. Nothing. But that moment got me thinking again as I consider this passage on Trinity Sunday. It reminds me that moment of the mysterious, sometimes frightening triune God and my interactions with him, which can sadly resemble the experience I had just back over here with the dog this week. Let me explain. So there we were, doing whatever we're doing, much like the squirrels are doing. We, like them, have tasks to complete. We have things to do. We understand each other. But the larger picture is veiled from our eyes. In this case, a very large German Shepherd around the corner. Then in one unexpected moment, the door opens, something new happens in our life, and it reorients everything right now. God meets us in a non-threatening manner. He reveals himself to us because he chooses to do so. But sometimes that doesn't matter. We're off, running over each other as quickly as we can to escape the mystery of what we don't understand, what our minds cannot completely perceive, the triune person of God. I was not going to hurt the squirrels that day, and I suspect Luna would not have either. But they didn't know that. They were afraid of what they did not comprehend. If they were in a relationship with us, they would see that probably all she wanted to do was run around and jump up and down and run and then just be happy and off she was going. But we weren't in relationship. Like them, I get scared too, though, those two squirrels. Like them, I wonder, what will I do in the dark to survive an enemy I cannot overcome on my own? Like them, I cannot understand everything that happens in my world. I don't know why tragedy happens. I don't know why those who believe in God suffer. Like them, I don't understand completely why my life has changed in a moment, and it sends me running across my own symbolic parking lot, up the tree, and across to the next branch. But God reveals himself to us, to me, because he wants to be in a relationship with us, where we can trust that even if we are confused, and even if we can't explain him to others completely, we still trust in who he is intrinsically in our lives. Even if, and he is, too mysterious for me to completely explain or understand, he is there in my life. He reveals himself to us so that we won't be afraid and run off. So we will choose to come close to him to explore the mystery of who he is. We choose to enter something that is complex, that is potentially scary, that is unknown, the Godhead. As we hear wisdom in this text speak, we are then called to speak to those who have entered, who have found God entering their lives. It is because God reveals himself to us and calls us to recreate relationships of trust with others that we are called to testify and speak. Again, now we see what wisdom does in the text. Speak, raise the voice, talk to people. We will remember those who find themselves scared and sick and alienated from him. And we will remind them of the saving grace of God. He is the Father who creates us in his image. He is the Son who redeems us, even those who would harm him. He is the Spirit who calls us back to relationship. He is in relationship with himself. And now he invites you into that relationship as well. What can a voice do? A voice can speak of this and share it with those around you, just as wisdom did in our text. Let us pray now together. Gracious God, we are thankful for your presence in our lives.